follow the impressions of my mind this morning, it'll be to try to speak to you from the book of 1 Samuel. In the 8th chapter, Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 reads, "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations." Samuel, here in the book that is titled after his name, certainly is a preeminent character in the Word of God. The Scriptures tell us that his mother, Hannah, prayed for him, prayed that the Lord would visit her womb, and that he would bless her to have a child. See, Hannah is one of the barren women of the Bible. And if you go and you ever study through the barren women of the Bible, each and every one of their children, in some way, shape, or form, or type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel is no different. Samuel is no different. See, just as Samuel was born at a time when Israel needed a faithful judge. You say, well, they had a judge. His name was Eli. He sure did. And his name was Eli. They had a man who occupied the office that the Lord established among his people Israel. And his name was Eli. And he had a responsibility to be the judge unto the people of Israel. But the Scriptures teach us plainly that Eli's flaws had frustrated the people of God. And I'd endeavor to say that in the frustration of the people of God, the things that we read that his sons were doing frustrated the Lord. If you'll remember in the early days of this, or the early chapters of this book, it was the sons of Eli. They would sit at the gates or sit at the door of the house of God. And whenever the children of God would bring their sacrifices unto Eli, and they'd bring them unto the place that the Lord had instructed them to come with the things that they desired to offer unto God. You say, well, Brother Will, these things that we read, these Old Testament sacrifices. We're in the New Testament dispensation today. We read of the sacrifices that they brought in the form of the animal sacrifices. We read of the sacrifices that they brought in accordance with the law of God to come and to bring of the first fruit of their hands and of their vineyards. Those sort of things aren't required today. Amen and amen. And you say, well, how are we supposed to take and to apply things that we no longer do today if we study and read these things as they took place in the Old Testament? I'll tell you today, even though the sacrifices that were made in the Old were fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that the things that they brought and the blood that was shed and the atonement that was made on the Day of Atonement and so on and so forth were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no doubt about it, any service to the Lord, it requires sacrifice of some part from the individuals that are doing the service. It's no different today than it was in the days of Eli. And in the days of Eli, whenever they came to the gates, whenever they came to the door, the Scripture tells us that Eli's sons, they sat at the gate and they sat at the door. And when they came in with their sacrifices, those boys, they took from the meat before it was offered unto God. And they partook of it. In other words, they took it off the top. They took off the top. You say, well, the Scripture tells us that those that were making the offerings, that they were to eat of the offerings. And I said yes, and I'll say yes, and yes, they were. But I want to tell you this morning, is that those that were making the offerings were supposed to take after the Lord had received the portion that was allotted to Him. Because the Lord is the one that takes first. And those priests were supposed to feast of that which was left after the Lord had already been given the portion of His. These men had taken and had placed themselves in the stead of God and had said that we would take before the Lord takes. And they were also ones that accompanied harlots. They were ones that had frustrated the people of God, these sons of Eli. And I tell you, the Lord visited the prayer of Hannah and visited her need and visited her womb and rose up this man named Samuel and blessed him to be a mighty man among the people of Israel. I want to tell you, this man was one that whenever he was in the keeping with Eli, you'll remember that the Lord spoke unto him and that he heard the voice of the Lord and that he went to Eli and he said, what did you speak unto me? And I know I'm summarizing a good bit, and we're going to get back here in just a minute to some of the things that we want to bring to your attention. But nevertheless, you see that the Lord spoke unto him, and whenever he went to Eli, Eli said, I didn't speak to you. And he went back and he laid down again. Because Hannah had taken this boy, and whenever she had weaned him, she had dedicated him to the service of the Lord. And I want to tell you what a noble act that is for us to say that our lives are not worthy for us to endeavor to drag our children into service unto us. But we're going to dedicate our lives, and we're going to dedicate our children and our families to the service of the Almighty God. That the things in which we endeavor to engage in this world, that it'll be centered around God. That it'll be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Hannah did. She said, Lord, if thou would visit me, oh, this boy will be a servant unto thee all the days of his life. And as he lay there, he heard the voice again. And I tell you, whenever he went and told Eli that he wanted to know what Eli was speaking unto him, Eli told him, he said, that wasn't me that was calling you. It's evidence that because it's not me and we're the only ones in this room, that this is the Lord speaking unto thee. And I'll tell you here this morning that the same principle still stands whenever it comes to calling the man of God into the service of the Lord. They cannot be made by men. They must be called of God. And I tell you, Samuel was one that was called of God. Samuel was one who the Lord had visited and has given the vision and had shown him how Eli would die. Showed him that he was displeased with Eli for the things that he had done. Showed him that Eli had not served in accordance with his will, and because of that, that he was going to take his life, and that Samuel would be in the stead. Samuel would be the judge of Israel. The judge of Israel. You see, the office of judge is one that the Lord gave the children of Israel. That was His will. That was His established method to be the leader over the children of Israel. That He would raise up judges among them. And as you go through and you read through the book of Judges, and as you see that the Scripture tells us that the Lord would raise up a judge, and that the Lord would bless that man to lead the children of Israel, and that they would be blessed, and that they would move forward in battle, and that they would face those adversaries that were around them, and that they would keep their boundaries, and that they would defend the honor of the Almighty God of Israel whenever they would do so. But yet in the process of the life of the man, sometimes the man would fall, and the enemies would prevail for a time. And after they would prevail for a time, and the children of Israel would turn their hearts away from the things of God, whenever they saw the effect of it, they would turn and they'd cry to the Lord and say, "Send us a judge so that we once again can defend the boundaries of Israel." It shows me that this man, this office, that this, he's just a man. He's just a man. Samuel is not God. Samuel is not the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, whenever the Lord would bless one that would be arisen among the children of Israel and bless him to do in accordance with his will, oh, what a blessing he was to the children of Israel. See here in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, one of the tribes' names that you'll see, one of the groups' names, one of the nations' names that you'll see that the children of Israel, that they have constant conflict with, is the Philistines. The nation of Mr. Goliath himself. The Philistines. Tell you, because the term Philistine doesn't exist anymore. I don't know about you, but I don't hear anybody claiming any lineage to the Philistines. Do y'all? I don't hear these days, whenever I turn on Fox News, I don't see anymore anything about the nation of the Philistines. And because we don't see anything about the nation of the Philistines, and because we don't see anything about the Moabites, because we don't see anything about the Ammonites, surely that because those nations don't exist anymore, none of these things that are contained here in these skirmishes and these lessons have any application to us, do they? I want to tell you, just because these struggles and just because these things that we face may have changed the name, it doesn't mean that there's anything new under the sun. The skirmishes continue. The battles will continue until the Lord returns and He sets this world ablaze and He takes every single one that belongs to Him by His grace home to be with Him. There's going to be struggles and skirmishes that the people of God must stand for and defend here in this time world. Better believe it's got application. And I tell you, old Samuel here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, if you'll remember, the Scripture tells us that the Philistines, of course, had won a few battles in the chapters previous. They had captured the Ark of the Covenant and had taken it into their God of house of their God, Dagon. And I'm going to tell you that due to them having that Ark in their villages, the Lord struck them with something. Now the Bible calls it an emerod. And if you've ever done any search on what an emerod is, and if you've ever had an emerod, you know the reason why those Philistines were anxious to get this thing out of here. They said, "We've brought this back, and here we've been struck by these things. Get this away from here." And I tell you, that's what the Lord did. The Lord, that ark didn't belong in the community of the Philistines. That ark belonged among the Israelites. And they had won battles here and there enough to the point where Israel respected that army. And the Scripture tells us here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says, "And the children of Israel," verse 8, "said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.'" You see, the children of Israel, they looked to Samuel and they said, "Here come the Philistines again. Here they come again. Here they come to trouble me again. cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that we will be delivered out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel, they had faced it enough to know that not only that this battle was serious, but they knew where they needed to go in order to cry for help. And if you, whenever you see these things, whenever you see the man Samuel here, I want you to look a little bit higher than Samuel. Whenever you look at the one that he's the one crying unto the Lord for them. But I tell you, Samuel's not the one that delivered them. The Lord delivered them through the cry of Samuel and delivered them to overcome the battle of the Philistines. The scripture says in the next verse, he says, "And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." See, in order to be in the stead of the ones that faced the battle that day, hear this man Samuel. Just a man. He's just a man. But he's one who God has ordained to be in this office. He's one who the Lord has lifted up and has placed among the children of Israel to be their leader. He's the one whereby they've come to cry. He's the one whereby they've said that if we're going to be delivered, it's going to be because Samuel's going to take our case before the Lord. And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, whenever you face something in this world today, whenever you face something that you know is bigger, that you know that you've faced enough, that has overcome you in times past, that has even conquered you in times past, I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, there's still one on the right hand of the throne of God today that you can visit and say, in accordance with my need, in accordance with thy will, I cry unto thee this day that you would visit and that you would beseech God our Father for us, that He would bless us, that this adversary once again would not overcome me again and again and again. You know, one of the things that one of the tools of the devil today is to isolate you and to make you think that there's not a person that'll hear your case, that there's not a soul around that really cares. And you know, sometimes whenever it comes to some things, they may not. You ever met some people that every time you asked them how they were doing, they'd give you the details of some minute stuff that really doesn't matter. And you say, "Well, Brother Will, it may matter to thee." Well, does it really matter that much that you didn't enjoy your lunch that day? that the steak that you ordered, me and Brother John Claybos ate together over in Gaston, Alabama last night. We ordered a steak and they brought it and it wasn't cooked right. And I did what I don't like to do and told them it wasn't cooked right, and I ate the one they brought out the second time. I did it. Too much against what my inclinations are whenever you send food back, but nevertheless, it was good when it came out the second time. But whenever I got here this morning, you asked me how I do it, and that's all I wanted to do was murmur about the piece of meat I ate last night. Guess what I think you'd be thinking, even though you'd be looking with the most intent thought, is that really doesn't matter. I want to tell you, whenever it comes to illnesses, whenever it comes to diseases, when it comes to doctor's visits, when it comes to lost loved ones, when it comes to the health of our youngins, I want to tell you, I believe there's power in the prayers of the saints of the Lord. I believe that it'd be wrong of us if we didn't come whenever we gathered here among ourselves as the church here at Macedonia to mention those things, to bring them before the people, and to say that just as they came to Samuel and said, "Cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He would deliver us out of the hands of the Philistines." And he went forth and he made these sacrifices. He did these things so that the Lord would visit them, so that He would look upon them with favor. And I want to tell you, the Lamb of God, whenever we pray, we don't just pray directly to the Father. We go to our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that He, because of His sacrifice and because of His offering, that God the Father would visit us according to the things that He has done, and that He would deliver us from our adversaries, the Philistines. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of little Philistine armies in my life. I got a lot of them. And you know, one of the things I couldn't stand whenever I was growing up is when my brother would get me in the headlock. And he'd take his knuckles and he'd run them across the top of my head. That was one of the more aggravating things that he knew he could do to me, and I couldn't do anything about it. Because even when he let me go, even though I'd be so infuriated that I would just want to I couldn't do anything. Because all he'd do is put me back in it, so I just had to swallow it down. I want to tell you, that's the way that the Philistine army does me sometimes. That's the way, whenever I fall, that's what, it's almost like they rub my nose in it. But I want to tell you, if the Lord will be with me, if I try to conquer them on my own, and the children of Israel said, we can't conquer them on our own. We need the Lord our God to be with us. We've lost enough. We know. We've learned the lesson. We want to go to the man of God. And I'm not here telling you to look to me. I'm telling you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you praying to Him and say, let Lord deliver us out of the hand of these Philistines. I tell you. And they did. And the scripture says He did. He delivered them. He blessed them in that battle. And I want to tell you, the Lord our God in heaven, He's not bound to bless us in a battle. But I want to tell you that the only hope that we have, and the only thing that we have that can deliver us from the things that we face in this world, is a powerful God that can overcome anything that we face. And I tell you, these little skirmishes, that's our day-to-day life. It's a little skirmish. And if you don't stand up, if you don't defend yourself against some of these things that are overtaking you, you'll find yourself in the same shape that the children of Israel did whenever they just refused to stand up for it. Their land was gone. Their land was gone. Remember when I grew up on a farm, and one of the things that we did the spring break in the summer after my eighth grade year was we fenced a new farm that my daddy and his cousin had bought. It's about a close to a 90-acre pasture. And they had recently purchased it, and that was our spring break job. We started it over spring break, and it took us near about all summer long to finish it. And I remember I was 13 years old at that time, and you know, as these children grow up, they may not hear this right now, but as they grow older, I'm going to continue to remind them just how little they know. Just how little they know. At 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, I can keep going, 19. And how you think you faced everything you're going to face, you got it all figured out. Let me tell you something. First of all, preeminence, whenever your mom and daddy warns you about something, you better listen. And second of all, if the household of faith warns you about something, you better double listen. You hear me? You're not smarter than them. You're not. They've learned all that. They've lived all that. And it'd be hot. Does anybody understand how hot it is in South Georgia? It's hot. And I remember that he would walk that line, and he'd tell us where we needed to put that fence. And I remember that he would just get off course from where there was a good tree to pull to. It'd be a good tree sitting there, where all you had to do was latch hold of that barbed wire with the puller that we had and prop it up against that oak tree, and you could pull it, and you could pull it tight. And he'd say, I don't want to pull to that tree. He'd say, I want to go out here. I want to go to the line. And you know, when you go to the line, when there's not a tree there, guess what? You got to put a tree there in the form of a post. So here come the hole diggers. Here they come. You got to dig the hole. You not only have to dig one, you have to dig three. Because if you dig one, you got to dig the bracing posts on both sides of it. And I remember thinking at the time, it's only 10 or 12 feet. Why can't we just give the neighbors that 10 or 12 feet and pull to that tree? Because he had worked hard to get what he had. And I look back on that at the ignorance of a 13-year-old that would say, why can't we just forfeit that? Why can't we just give that? Well, I want to tell you, you give anything away that the Lord has blessed you to be able to have, the devil will take it all. And that's what the children of Israel had understood at this point in time, is we need the Lord to defend our boundaries. And I want to tell you, little lamb of God, today those skirmishes still exist. And if you give, if you're just willing to lay down for the devil and be willing to say, it's okay, this is just a little sin. This is just a little sin. This is just a little act of fornication. God surely is going to visit me with mercy. He's going to look down upon me and He's going to say, it's just a little thing. Well, I want to tell you, I believe in a merciful God, and I believe that the sins, any sin that we may commit and any failure to do what the Lord has required of us, that Jesus Christ died for on the cross at Calvary, and that He atoned us, and that He made an atonement for that sin, that He cleansed us from it, that we're pure in the eyes of God, and no, there's not anything that you're going to do that the Lord is all of a sudden going to visit and say, I didn't forgive you of that sin. You're going to hell. And I want to tell you, little lamb of God, whenever it comes to the things that the Lord has blessed us to be able to know better of, and that we've seen over and over again that those that fall victim to it, those that succumb to it, those that just give in to it and say, I can't battle it anymore. I can't stand up against those things anymore. I can't do what is required of me. Whenever you lay down, I tell you, you might as well, it's the beginning of a domino effect. You just lay down and everything just walks right over you. I tell you, the children of Israel knew they needed the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, you need the Lord in your life today. You need the Lord. You need the Lord to visit you in your times of pride. You better thank God of the times that the Lord has visited you and chastened you for the things that you feel lifted up about. Have you ever thought of the times that, you know, somebody, and I don't know if I'm going to get back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. I don't know if I am. We'll get there with the night service. We'll get there with the night service. Scripture tells us that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, one of the things that when a parent chastens a child, you know, some people wonder whether or not they're facing the troubles that they face because of something that they've done, or whether or not the Lord is causing these things to happen. I tell you, the Lord's never caused iniquity to happen. I can tell you that. The Lord has never made a person sin. Do we understand that? He is holy, harmless, and He is separate from sinners. He cannot sin. He in His being, as being the holy being that He is, He cannot cause one to sin. It is impossible to happen. And so when someone sees the direction of their life, and they see some of the things that's going on, they wonder, they say, I wonder if something I'm doing is causing this, or if the Lord is chastening me. How many of us, whenever we chasten our child, do we not tell them why they're being chastened? Have you ever just, and I can't say that I'm not guilty of it, but I'm going to tell you the right way to chasten is that if you want to correct a behavior, then you need to make sure that the entity that is receiving the correction knows what they're supposed to change. That just makes a little bit of common sense, doesn't it? That just makes a little bit of common sense. And that is, I'm going to chasten you. And the very definition of chastening is to change the course of action. I'm going to correct them. How much correction would it be if all of a sudden, just because you just up and lifted them up and gave them what for, and just sent them on their way and never told them why it was that you were giving them that chastening? I'm going to tell you, the same is true of the Lord. It's whenever He gives you a good one, you won't leave that chastening hour with the question in your mind, I wonder if what I've done. I'm going to tell you, He'll manifest what you've done so that you can change that course of action, so that you can do better next time, so that you won't fall out of ignorance again and not knowing what the Lord's will is for you. Well, I tell you, the children of Israel were no different. The children of Israel were no different. There was chastening. And that's what they suffered at the hand of the Philistines. And they knew what they had done wrong. And this time, here they come as a little bit wiser on the other side. And they say, Samuel, cry unto the Lord for us. And he made those offerings. And the scripture says, in the verses down, it says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day with the Philistines and disconfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. I don't know about you, but I believe we can shout today when we read those words that the Philistines were smitten before Israel. The armies of the living God had prevailed that day. Doesn't it make us rejoice whenever we see that the armies of the living God are prevailing in a certain day? You know, one of the things that is quick to frustrate the children of God is whenever they see that the armies of Israel have been defeated. You know, whenever one of the little lambs of God that were serving the Lord in spirit and in truth and rejoicing in what the Lord had done for them, and it had a desire to be a part of His kingdom, and it sometimes united therewith and wanted to live a life for God, whenever you see that they fall in the way of the devil and they go and the devil conquers them, isn't that discouraging to the armies of Israel? You've lost that battle. You've lost one. But I want to tell you, whenever you're blessed to be able to see one come out from among the world and blessed to be able to overcome the trials and temptations thereof, and even in the midst of seeing the things that the world's had to offer, here they come to the house of the living God and say, I want to do like Joshua did, and I want to cry, and I want to say unto everybody around me, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord your God this day, choose you him you will serve, whether it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And I want to tell you, whenever someone makes that cry, whenever someone makes that declaration, whenever someone stands up, and whenever they win and prevail, and the armies of the enemies are smitten before Israel, I want to tell you, we need to give God the praise that day and need to thank Him that the Lord has blessed us to triumph one more time. You know, I believe there's a lot of battles left in this world. I believe there's a lot of things that, you know, you look around and, you know, I was speaking yesterday to a person over at the meeting that we were at. Just, you know, sometimes it just manifests just that you end a sentence in a preposition. And I know I do it a lot more than that sentence I just did. I know I do it a great deal. But sometimes in the meeting in which we were in attendance, the Lord blessed a lot of youngins to be present that day. There's a lot of children in the membership. And the person that I was talking to had tears swell up in their eyes. Because they say, I just pray that we can teach them, so that they can continue on, and that the church can continue here through the work of these children. I'm going to tell you, the future of the church is not in children. The future of the church is in Jesus. Amen and amen. Never get to looking around and say, we got youngins, we're okay. I'm going to tell you, you can have youngins and not have Jesus, and you ain't all right. You hear me? And I'm going to tell you, whenever you got youngins and you got your focus on doing the will of God, see, sometimes people look from the outside and they look in and they say, look what they did. But you know, they don't understand. The Scripture tells us that the wicked understand not judgment. There's things that a church has to do because it's the right thing to do. And even though it hurts your heart, even though your heart breaks because of the person that has done wrong, because you love God and because you love them, you're willing to do what's right so that Jesus would be there. So that the children would look around, so that one of these days they can't look back. And see, one of the things that I wanted to get to about Samuel is that the error that Samuel made is the Scripture says that Samuel, he rose up his two boys and he made them judges over Israel. You know, one of the things that I see, for error number one, is the Lord made the judges over Israel, not Samuel. Error number one. I'm going to tell you. It's a hard thing to do sometimes. To be able to look and to know whenever your children go out of the way. And to be able to face sometimes the things that they're going to have to endure because of their wayfaring ways, because of things that they've done. But I'm going to tell you, right is right and wrong is wrong. And Samuel established his two sons as judges over Israel. And it frustrated the people of God. And it frustrated the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when the people of God get frustrated, it's like it is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, whenever Saul makes that offering that he's not supposed to make. And the Scripture says that Samuel visited the armies and the camps of Israel, and that he came in, and the first thing that he heard was the bleating of sheep. That's not B-L-E-E-D-I-N-G. You don't hear B-L-E-E-D-I-N-G. The bleating of the sheep. B-L-E, I guess you spell it with a T. I might should have thought about that before I started spelling it. But it's the bleating. In other words, it's the cry of the sheep that things are not well, that things are not going good. And I tell you, whenever Samuel visited him and he heard the bleating of the sheep, what he heard was the cries of the people of Israel that the Lord is forsaking us. And whenever we're not doing what His will is to do, the Lord, not that He departs or moves, but that because we're out of His will, we've moved away from Him. Do we understand that? Well, I tell you, the children of Israel, they cried unto Samuel. Samuel delivered them. The armies of Israel prevailed. The Scripture says that then Samuel took a stone, verse 12 of 1 Samuel 7, and he set it between Mizpah and Shin. And he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I tell you, they prevailed in battle. They established a marker to show that the Lord had blessed them that day. They named it Ebenezer. Now, you ever wonder why you see certain names of bodies of believers these days? And you say, where'd they come up with that name from? Ebenezer. "For hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And I tell you, whenever it comes to the kingdom of God, whenever it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it may not be known by title as Ebenezer, each and every one of us ought to be willing to be able to identify ourselves with Ebenezer. And that is that because of that name, "hitherto hath the Lord helped us." See, Samuel was blessed to prevail in battle that day. Samuel was blessed. The Scripture says, as we continue reading in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 7, it says the Philistines were subdued. In other words, they were beat back to the point where they weren't as much trouble as they were before. You know, I remember one time when I hadn't been here very long, and there were some things that, some trials that were manifesting themselves. I was on the phone with Elder Marvin Loudermilk. And boy, I miss Brother Marvin. I tell you, one of my more precious memories in Zion is seeing him lean on a cane up at Faith Primitive Baptist Church and sing with every ounce of song that was, you want to talk about making a joyful praise unto the Lord and a joyful noise. Aren't you thankful that says noise? That means those of us that are just making a noise, you're doing it the way that the Lord wanted you to do it. I told the brothers and sisters yesterday that when we were on the way to church a few weeks ago, we were singing a hymn. And you know, Sister Allison is good to let me know whenever I need to change something about my singing. She'll tell me I'm out of key or something like that. Well, she told me, the last thing she told me, she says, "That's in the wrong octave." And I looked over at John Nathan in the passenger seat. I said, "What's an octave?" "What is an octave? What is a, you know?" And she says, "Well, that's in reference to the key." I said, "Well, we've got it at least. I have enough trouble with the key." I said, "Don't change the vocabulary on me in the middle of the lesson. At least use the same terminology." I tell you, the Scripture says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can sing it out of key, and I believe God accepts it. When you start looking at the notes more than you're looking at the words of a hymn, you're going in the wrong direction, and you better listen to me on that. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us singing in the same notes. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the notes. People say, "Well, Brother Wilson, folks years ago, they said we had to use this hymn because it didn't have..." I'm not saying that. But focus on them words that you're singing up into praise unto our God. And you make a joyful noise unto Him in key or out of key, out of beat, in rhythm. And I believe the Lord will accept it. I believe He will. I believe that that's what His instructions are to us. I have no idea how I got off on that. The Philistines were subdued. In other words, it had gotten to a point where they weren't as much... Oh yeah, Brother Marvin, as he leaned on his cane and he sang that hymn that we sing, "Never Grow Old." Never grow old. Here's a man that can't walk without a cane anymore. He has false teeth in his mouth. He can't even preach. He wasn't even the pastor at the present time whenever I was there. I tell you what, I remember seeing that. What a vivid image that stays in my mind. But anyway, what he told me on the phone that day was oh so true. He said, a man stand in a certain place long enough, he will gain the respect of those that are troubling him. And I want to tell you, the children of Israel had stood in their place long enough. They had cried unto the Lord their God through Samuel. And I tell you, you can cry unto the Lord your God through the Lord Jesus Christ this day. And you can beseech that He would bless you. And you can stand in the place where the saints of the Lord have stood since the Lord gave us the kingdom of God in the New Testament church. And it doesn't mean that the enemies will always go away. They won't always go away. But I can tell you, you can subdue some of the ones that are troubling you. And the Philistines were subdued. And the Scripture says that the Lord had blessed them not only for the enemies to be subdued. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron, even the Gath and the coast thereof, did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. I tell you, you read about a mighty man and the man Samuel. You read about the Lord's hand being with him and delivering the children of Israel to the point where not only were the Philistines were subdued, but they gained some ground back that the Philistines had taken, where there was order and peace around them. But what the Scripture says, and this is what I was hoping to get to, and I'm not even going to try with 10 minutes left. You know, I know here over the past few times I've been going past the hour, and I ain't going to make it a point that if it's something I feel like I got to get in, I'm going to get it in. And if you got to go, I reckon you're not going to offend me if you got to go. If you're that hungry, go ahead. It's all right. I tell you, I've had to preach through worse. I can tell you that. And somebody saying I need to leave. I've preached through some grimaced teeth because folks didn't like what I was saying unto them about what the Scripture teaches. I'm not quite sure if I wouldn't rather preach to one that just went ahead and left as opposed to grimacing their teeth at me. But nevertheless, I'm not going to try to get it in. But my point was this. Samuel, a mighty man in Israel. Samuel, just a man. Samuel, just a man. Samuel erred. Frustrated the people of God. Frustrated God. And here they go. That because of his actions and his establishment of his sons as judges over Israel, and their desire to follow lucre, their desire to take bribes and pervert judgment. You want me to tell you what perverted judgment is? Judgment is doing one thing in one case and doing something else in another just because of who they are. That's perverted judgment. Judgment is saying that I know that both of y'all did the same thing, but this one, because of who he is not going to get what the other one got. That's a perverted form of judgment. You know, if you ever wonder whether or not you'll ever be called out on perverted judgment, you will if you have more than one child, I can tell you that. Because if one of them steps out of the way in a certain way, Brother John, you couldn't have two right there the same age. I guarantee you they're going to look up at you, and one of these days whenever they need a little bit of correction, if you don't give it both to them, give it to one the same way you gave it to the other, what that is, that's perverted judgment. Also, perverted judgment can come in the form of declaring that you know what's right and wrong instead of saying that the Lord has given us what's right and wrong. That can pervert judgment. And when you receive gifts and you say, because this one has given me a gift, I'm going to look over what he's done. I'm going to look over what they've done. It's perverted judgment. And his sons frustrated Israel to the point that it changed the course of the children of Israel. Think about that. From this point prior to, what Israel had was judges. What Israel had was God's ordained means of an oversight over his people. And God does have an ordained means of oversight over his people. It doesn't mean that he has lords over his people. He told us that over in 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, not being as lords over God's heritage. In other words, I haven't raised you up to my equal, is what the Lord said. But I've made you an overseer. I've made you an under-shepherd. I've put you there for a certain purpose, to watch over my people and to take care of them. Well, here, it changed the course, because prior to this, you had judges. Samuel was the last of the judge. And here you have the onset of the next group of leaders over Israel. And it came in the form of kings. And I said all that to say this, that the Lord will be with us. I'm not going to do it week in and week out. I'm not. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe that there needs to be a steady dose and a steady helping and heaping of God's doctrine coming forth in the pulpit of the church. You know, one of the things I read the other day, I read a writing of a man. He wrote it about 20 years ago. He belonged among our people, and he ran into some folks that used to be among us. And he asked them how they were doing over there, and he said, great. He said, we're doing great. He said, our pastor preached on election this past weekend, and he says, the first time we've heard the doctrines of grace in 3 years. I venture to say that. And people say, well, we need this stuff for a living. Amen and amen. But if you don't tie the living stuff to the doctrinal stuff, then you ain't doing what the Lord's called upon you to do. You tie them together. They need to be established in the truth about the doctrinal things. So don't expect it every week. But nevertheless, what I'd like to do is, from time to time, I'd like to visit through the kings. To the kings of Israel, and as we get to the point, to the kings of Judah, if the Lord will be with us. Because I believe that there is a multitude of lessons that is taught to the child of God in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament dispensation by visiting the lives of these men. God preserved these words for a reason. It is an accurate historical account of the people of Israel. You better believe it is. It's accurate. Down to the spelling, it is accurate. The Lord has preserved it for us. But it's not just for history. It's not just so that you and I would know that Hezekiah served a certain number of years as the king of Judah. It's not what it's for. He told us about some things that these kings did. He's told us some things about what these kings didn't do. And in it, he establishes things that please the Lord, things that displease the Lord. And I believe there's great lessons to be learned. And here in Samuel, what you see is the closing out of the judge and the onset of the king. You know, one of the things I want to leave you with is this. This office of king was not the will of God. Do we understand that? He says a little bit down here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. He says in verse 8, he said, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, where they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and shew them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. He clearly says that they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me, is what the Lord has said, because this is not what I gave them. I didn't give them kings according to the lands of this world. But yet that's what they desired, was to be like the lands of this world and to be like the nations of this world. But I want to tell you, it didn't mean that the Lord forsook them because they went in that way. We're going to read about the fact that even though it was not in the will of God, that the Lord, because of the love of His people, blessed them through these men that are over them. Continue to watch over them. Continue to guide and lead them as they trudge this sin-cursed world. So you pray that the Lord's will would be manifested in these things. If we bring them forth to your attention, you pray for me. If it be not the will of God to visit them, I don't mind telling you at all. If I arrive here for the next 6 weeks and I don't preach on a king, I'll just tell you, I don't think the Lord was in it. But it's been on my mind for some time. So I want to ask that the Lord will, that you'll pray that the Lord will be with me as we bring forth some thoughts here on these kings. Because the first one is the one that comes out is King Saul. King Saul. And some things that we can see about him. But I'm telling you ahead of time, I don't think it'll be every week. I think it'll be from time to time that the Lord will bless us to be able to visit these things. Samuel was the last judge. He was the last judge over Israel. And here we see that the office of the king is established upon the request of the people of Israel because of a mistake that Samuel had made. And they became frustrated. And they desired to do things another way. You know, whenever we see here, I trust that even though I've closed this by telling you where I'd like to go here in the next few weeks, that you see the lessons that I tried to establish here through Samuel in 1 Samuel 7 and in 8. And that is that the children of Israel were delivered when they besought the Lord. And that when they cried unto Him, for Him to deliver them. And I tell you, what we have today, the Scripture tells us, is a great high priest. For we have not a great high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But I want to tell you, He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have one that we can cry unto, just as they cried unto Samuel. You can let me know about your needs, and I'll be sure to give it all I've got to pray unto the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, one of the things that dropped in the New Testament dispensation was the need to go through the priest in order to beseech the Lord. The veil was rent in twain. You can go right to Him just as I can. You can go there. The priesthood of the believer, as Elder Ricky Harcrow says. Or the priesthood of the believer, like Brother Ricky Harcrow says, and I've heard him preach. The priesthood of the believer. You can do it. You can enter into the holiest of all and cry unto Him, and He'll hear you. May the Lord be with us, is our prayer. May the Lord be with us in these things that I've mentioned in regards to youngins. The future of the church is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, if the Lord blessed a place like we're blessed here with these little ones running around, that they'd be taught what's right and what's wrong in accordance with God's Word. So that we can look around and we can say that there's the future of the church and the truth in which we've tried to teach them and what we've tried to conduct ourselves in their midst. May the Lord be with us is our prayer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.